Emma Averell has everything under control. Successful lawyer on track to make partner, mother to two children, wife to stay-at-home dad Robert. But as her 40th birthday approaches, a terrifying possibility haunts her. Will she follow in her mother's footsteps? Years ago, her mother had a psychotic break on her 40th birthday, attempting to smother Emma's sister Phoebe before being institutionalized for life. The countdown begins 12 days before Emma's birthday when she wakes at precisely 1:13 a.m., convinced someone is in the house. Though she finds nothing amiss, this becomes the first of many sleepless nights. Each passing day brings mounting exhaustion as Emma's grip on reality weakens. She finds herself compulsively checking doors and windows, staring into dark cupboards, and reciting a mysterious sequence of numbers: 1-5-5-2-1-1-8-2-2-2-1-1-3. What would you do if your mind began betraying you? If the very thing you feared most, inheriting your mother's madness, seemed to be coming true? For Emma, the ticking clock becomes deafening as strange incidents multiply and her carefully constructed life begins to unravel. As Emma's behavior grows more erratic, her family relationships deteriorate rapidly. The first alarming signs appear in her 8-year-old son Will's artwork, disturbing drawings of a wild-haired woman hovering menacingly over his bed with a pillow. When asked who this figure is, Will's answer is chilling: "You, Mummy. It's you." These drawings prompt a meeting with the school headmistress, who reveals Will has been experiencing dissociative episodes during class, staring blankly, completely unresponsive. Robert begins sleeping in Will's room and eventually asks Emma to stay with her sister temporarily. The situation with 17-year-old Chloe becomes equally volatile. During an argument about Chloe's secret relationship with an older man, their car swerves across the center line, narrowly missing a truck before crashing. Though they escape with minor injuries, Chloe tells officers her mother deliberately tried to kill them both. Isn't it terrifying how quickly those closest to us can become strangers? How people who once trusted you implicitly can suddenly see you as a threat? Emma's childhood memories resurface in disturbing flashes: being locked in an understairs cupboard by her mother, who scratched mysterious numbers into the wood, and finding her mother attempting to smother Phoebe before collapsing. For years, Emma has claimed her mother was dead. When Phoebe forces her to confront this lie, Emma visits her mother at the hospital. The frail woman grabs Emma's wrist with surprising strength. Emma realizes her insomnia began at exactly 1:13 a.m. on June 24th, the precise moment her mother injured herself. At Hartwell Secure Unit, where her mother lived for over 30 years, Emma meets Sandra, who reveals something shocking. Phoebe had been visiting their mother regularly, appearing caring while secretly mouthing cruel words. Sandra shows Emma a paper her mother had hidden before her suicide, covered with Emma's name written repeatedly in spidery handwriting. How much of who we are is written in our genes? Can we ever truly escape the patterns established by those who came before us? As Emma's insomnia stretches into its seventh night, her perception of reality becomes increasingly unreliable. She experiences frightening episodes where she loses time, finding herself in places with no memory of how she got there, discovering actions she can't remember performing. The boundary between past and present blurs as Emma unconsciously mimics her mother's behaviors with unsettling precision. She compulsively checks locked doors exactly 7 times, just as her mother did. The mysterious sequence of numbers haunts her, appearing everywhere, scrawled across her bathroom mirror in lipstick, scratched into her desk, written repeatedly in her case files. These episodes intensify as her birthday approaches. After a heated confrontation with Phoebe, Emma learns her sister has been hit by a car. At the hospital, Emma has no memory of the crucial hours before finding Phoebe bleeding in the road. The gap in her memory torments her. Did she push her sister? Have you ever been so exhausted that you questioned your own perceptions? Now imagine that feeling multiplied, with your family's safety hanging in the balance. When Caroline Williams returns Emma's lost wallet, she becomes Emma's apparent savior, offering shelter after Robert asks Emma to leave their home. Emma, grateful for someone who listens without judgment while others question her sanity, accepts Caroline's support through her sister's accident and job loss. Yet, disturbing patterns emerge. Caroline repeatedly plays Candlebook and Bell, the song haunting Emma, describing it as a melody of loss and haunting heartaches. Emma also notices Caroline's house contains a large disabled wet room with grab rails, suggesting previous caregiving experience. Emma's trust collapses when she discovers Caroline sitting with Robert in her kitchen, playing recordings of Emma's rants about Phoebe. Caroline admits to recording their conversations due to Emma's fixation and concerning behavior. "I like you, but I'm not your friend," she confesses. Sometimes the hand reaching out to help you is the very one pushing you under. On Emma's 40th birthday, everything connects. After visiting her sister, Emma discovers her mother sang a haunting song the night she died, a song released years after her death. This reveals a crucial truth. The numbers tormenting her are times, not random figures. Her mother wasn't insane, but experiencing premonitions of danger to her family, visions now passed to Emma as warnings about her children. When Robert accuses Emma of threatening Caroline and stealing her keys, another truth emerges. The family meant to adopt 5-year-old Emma suffered a devastating car crash en route to get her. The father died, the mother was paralyzed, and their daughter Caroline was left physically unharmed but emotionally scarred. Caroline blames Emma for destroying her family and has methodically tormented her, keying her car, pushing Phoebe in front of a van, even suffocating Emma's mother. In their final confrontation, Caroline reveals her ultimate plan, to kill Emma's children and frame her as Crazy Emma, repeating her mother's actions on her 40th birthday. After Caroline's attack, Emma rebuilds her life while Caroline's brain damage likely prevents any trial. Emma's family gradually heals, and Will returns to his cheerful self once his mother's birthday passes and his premonitions cease. Emma discovers that she, Will, and her mother, all second children, share the ability to glimpse the future through disturbing visions. What appeared to be mental illness was actually perception transcending time. Her mother wasn't trying to harm Phoebe, but was caught in a vision of Caroline's future actions. Emma and Robert divorce amicably for their children's sake. She starts her own practice rather than returning to her old firm and develops a new relationship with her mother's memory, understanding their shared gift rather than curse. Perhaps what we label madness sometimes contains insights our ordinary consciousness cannot access, warnings from beyond our understanding that arrive as dreams, visions, and inexplicable knowing. The line between insanity and insight may be thinner than we imagine, and sometimes what keeps us awake isn't paranoia, it's perception.